We open the scriptures this morning to 1 Peter, the first epistle of Peter, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5, and we'll read the entire chapter. This is the last chapter of Peter's first epistle, 1 Peter, chapter 5. The elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory which fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. By Silvanus, a faithful brother unto you, as I suppose I have written briefly, exhorting and testifying that this is the true grace of God wherein ye stand. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus, my son. Greet ye one another with a kiss of charity. Peace be with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. The text for the sermon this morning is the first four verses, especially verses 2 through 4. We'll read the first four verses again. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. It's important as we begin this morning, beloved, that all of us understand why this is an important word for us to hear this morning. This is not just a word for the new elder or for the elders in the congregation, but for the congregation as a whole. That's important for us from several points of view. First of all, you all stand in relationship to the elders, and you all have a duty and a responsibility toward the elders, and you must receive them as shepherds who feed the flock. You must receive them as shepherds under Jesus Christ, the shepherd, under shepherds. And so you must remember your relationship towards them as they represent Christ in the church. Then also these men as elders are men who need your encouragement in their work. And so it's important that you understand their work, the difficulties of their work, and that you make it so that they can do their work with joy, as it's put in Hebrews chapter 13. You must also pray for these men. And knowing their work and the kind of men that they must be in this work, you pray for them and you uphold them in your prayers. And that's the request that they make to you this morning. Brethren, pray for us. And then there's another reason that it's important for us to hear about the work of the office bearers in the church, and that is that the church always needs men to stand in the office. And there are younger men in the congregation who should look at the qualifications of the office and the work of the office bearers in the church and think themselves about developing, by the grace of God, these gifts so that they may be able and willing in the future to serve in the office in the church. When Paul was met by Christ on the Damascus road, his question was, "Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" When Samuel heard a voice in the night, he was instructed by Eli to say, "Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth." This should be the attitude of the office bearers as they take up their work in this new year, and of the new office bearer as he takes up this work in the church. "Speak, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do?" And the words of the text this morning really answer that question for the elders in the church. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." This is the word of God, the charge that God gives to the elders in the church. This is, of course, inspired Scripture, and so it comes to us with the authority of God and by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting to see that Peter wrote these words, "Feed my flock." And Peter sees himself here not as a pope in the church, but he sees himself, verse 1, as a fellow elder and a partaker of the suffering and the glory of Jesus Christ. And as a fellow elder in the church, he exhorts those who follow him in this work. He has learned himself, we might say. "Feed the flock of God which is among you," reflect the words of admonition and commission that came to Peter himself after he had fallen. And when Jesus met him on the Sea of Galilee after his resurrection and said to him three times over, "Peter, feed my lambs, feed my lambs." And now Peter, restored to the office, having learned through suffering also of the way of glory, speaks to the office bearers by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit with this charge from God. So this is a charge to the elders. Let's notice first their duty, second their attitudes, and then third their incentive, or the incentive for their work. The duty of the elders is described for us very simply in verse 2, "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof." And there are two important words there. One is the word oversight, and the other is the word feed. This exhortation comes to the elders. Verse 1, "The elders which are among you I exhort." The word for elder refers to one who is of age and maturity in the church. Spiritual maturity, especially. And so is qualified for this work. And now this one who has been given this work receives the commission to take oversight of and to feed the flock. Those two important ideas are here. The idea of oversight is to rule or to watch. Not just to administer, but as an elder, as we read in the form, to look out for the spiritual welfare of the church and make sure that everything in the church is done according to the Word of God, decently and in order, in the words of Scripture. The minister rule, or the elder rules in the church by being a shepherd. And that's the idea here of feeding the flock of God, literally shepherding the flock, being a shepherd to the flock of God. And this is an important ideal connection in the verse. These two ideas: the elders take oversight in the congregation. They rule by behaving like a shepherd, by being shepherds. And so this morning we want to focus especially on that idea of a shepherd. You rule by being a shepherd. A shepherd loves the flock. And that's what your calling is elders this morning. Now perhaps it's a little surprising to us that this word comes to the elders to shepherd the flock. Most often we think of the minister as one who feeds the flock or shepherds the flock. But this gives us the proper view of the office of elder in the church and the proper approach to the people of God in the church who are committed to our spiritual care. Hebrews 13 says, they watch for your souls concerning the office bearers. And now the office bearers, the elders especially, are to understand that as shepherds, they watch for your souls. The people are God's flock, God's sheep. And that refers to them not only as the elect, chosen by God from eternity, but also as the ones for whom Christ gave his life as the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. But this figure in the scripture of sheep also indicates the character of God's people. This is true of every one of us. We are like sheep. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And a sheep is sometimes stubborn. A sheep is sometimes foolish. A sheep sometimes acts in ways that are destructive to itself. And it's sometimes docile. And all of this put together, we could put under one word, the sheep are needy. And that's the perspective that the office bearer must have of the congregation. Needy people, a needy flock, and he's given by Christ the task to meet that need as a shepherd. Christ is the great shepherd, and we feed the flock, patterning ourselves after him as the great shepherd. As we think about that this morning, I want to call your attention to six particular things that the shepherd does, which are good for us to think about, and especially good for the elders in the congregation to think about. Six things that a shepherd does. First, the shepherd knows his sheep. The shepherd knows his sheep. Jesus himself says, I know my sheep, and they are known of me, and I call them by name, and they hear my voice. Now, if you know anything about a farmer who works with the same group of animals day after day and year after year, the farmer is very familiar with all those animals. He may have up to 200 or 400 animals, and he's familiar with each of them. I grew up on a dairy farm, and I'm very familiar with this. We had 120 different milking cows at a time, and they came to the dairy twice a day to be milked, and we knew each one of them. They had names. We knew where they would stand. We knew their character and their behavior. We knew which ones to stay out of the way of, which ones needed the extra shoving to get into the milking stall, and so on. And a farmer, a shepherd, knows his sheep. He knows their diet, what they eat. He knows what dangers they're susceptible to, their fears, their habits, and so on. And that's the way it should be for elders in the church. They should know the sheep, know the congregation, know the struggles of the different members, know the families and the homes of the different families in the congregation, know about their spiritual strengths and weaknesses and their faith and where they struggle. The elder is called on in the scripture to be given to hospitality. And that, of course, is necessary not just so that strangers are welcomed by the elders, but that the elders know the flock. Notice what it says in verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. And that gives the idea not of the elders being separate and above, but mixing in the congregation, getting to know the sheep as a shepherd knows his sheep. Not like the modern rancher on a horse or a motorcycle, but like the ancient shepherd with a staff who walked among the flock. Know the sheep. Second, the shepherd feeds the sheep. And certainly that's what the good shepherd does. You think of the way that's put in Psalm 23, which we sang a little while ago. He leads me in green pastures and beside still waters. That's so that we may be fed, that our needs may be met. Without food, the sheep will die. And so the shepherd has to find pasture for his flock. You think of examples of that in the scripture. Jacob and his family were shepherds, and when Joseph went looking for them, they had moved to find different pastures for the sheep. Abraham and Lot's shepherds strove with one another because they needed food for their sheep. And that's the work of the elders. Perhaps again we think, well, this is the minister's task. But the elders also are called on to feed the flock. They do this in their oversight of the ministry of the word, to make sure that the food that is brought from the pulpit is a good diet for the people of God. They do this by knowing the congregation and then speaking together with the pastor about what needs to be preached from the pulpit. But they do this in their own work as well. They do this with the scriptures. The scriptures are the food that God's people need. And the elders should be engaged in bringing the word of God, in encouraging people with the promises and the admonitions of the word of God, to bring food to the sheep that suit their different situations and to know their situations so that they can do this. There are many opportunities for the elders to do this. We have the practice of family visitation in which the elders bring the word in the congregation. The elders are among the sheep. They mix with the congregation, and so they should encourage from the word of God. Do this by bringing the members of the congregation into their homes, given to hospitality. Do this by teaching in the church. The elders are called to be apt to teach, and perhaps the elders participate in or lead a Bible study in the church and can bring the word this way. Feed the flock. Visiting with the different members of the congregation, visiting with the sick and the infirmed and the afflicted in order to bring them the word of God. Reaching out to members with technology and the different ways that we're able to do that today. So the shepherd knows the sheep, the shepherd feeds the sheep, and then third, the shepherd gathers the sheep. And certainly this is a biblical idea too, that the shepherd at the end of the day gathers the sheep into the fold to keep them safe and to keep them together in one place. You know that from the parable that Jesus told of the shepherd with his 100 sheep. Well, the shepherds have that task, the elders in the church have that task as well, to gather the sheep, to bring them together in such a way that there's unity in the congregation. They must be the men in the congregation who do everything in their power to preserve peace and unity in the church. That's why it's important that the office bearers in the church be not brawlers, not people who will be divisive in their character in the church. But the elders do this also by calling the congregation together to worship. We don't very often think of that, but whenever we come together for worship, whether that's on the Lord's Day or for a special service, that's at the behest, the instigation of the elders in the church. They call the congregation together for worship. That's why the elders take a visible role in the worship service and walk in after the service has begun. And walk out after the service and shake the hands of the minister so that there's an evidence in the life of the church that it's under the rule of the elders that we gather for worship. They call us together for worship. Then another way that the elders gather the church is by pursuing those who are wayward, perhaps those who are not frequently at the worship service, and then they receive a text from the elder, "We missed you. Encourage you to be here." Or maybe it's a wayward member in the church who's walking in the way of sin and they need correction and admonition in order to be directed back to the fold. And that's done in love. And certainly members of the church who have been delinquent and have had the elders pursue them realize that these elders care about my spiritual well-being. They're watching for me. And that's an important part of our membership and accountability in the church. And so the elders gather the sheep. They encourage participation in the life of the church. And they lead in this. So the elders know the sheep, they feed the sheep, they gather the sheep, and then fourth, the elders as shepherds are to lead the sheep. And by that, I mean especially this, that the elders are decisive in the spiritual direction of the church and of the life of the church. Think of a shepherd. He leads the sheep in such a way that he chooses where the sheep will eat, where the sheep will sleep, where they will drink. He leads them. And he does this in such a way that it's for their benefit. Well, this is the work of the elders in the congregation. They have to be leaders. And that means that the elders in the congregation must be men who are reputable, blameless, above reproach, having a good report, not only in the church, but also of those that are outside of the church. They must be qualified to lead the people of God as men who are in the office. And that means, too, that in their work as office, they must maintain their integrity. As elders and as a council, this is an important part of our life together. And so we regularly conduct what's called mutual censure, in which there's an evaluation of one another in the work that we do as office bearers, so that we can be suitably leaders in the church. The work of leadership is also this: admonition. Now, all of us are called to admonish and exhort one another in the church, and that's part of why we come together, Hebrews chapter 10. But the elders should do this especially and see it as their task especially to look out for particular areas of weakness or temptation in the congregation so that with the rod and staff of the shepherd, the word of God, they can correct the different members. And that means the elders have to be alert to the spiritual condition of the different members and the dangers that they face. This happens in the church, that discipline has to be administered, and that's also the work of the elders. And often that happens in the church in such a way that members in the congregation generally don't even know that the elders are doing this work. A member is placed under silent censure, and then the elders are busy admonishing and exhorting with the word of God. In the fifth place, the elders must, as shepherds, care for the flock. This is in addition to feeding the flock. Feeding is something that all the members of the flock need. Care has to do with the specific needs that individual members of the congregation have. And the elders have to be alert to this by their knowing the flock so that they can minister to particular needs of particular members and particular groups in the congregation. Certainly there's sickness. And then because of sickness, the needs that come along with that, we think of the sick in our own congregation, Joe and Mary and Jerome. But then there's other spiritual needs that members have. And the elders are called to shepherd, to lead. In times of temptation, times of grief, different burdens that are brought upon God's people. Shepherd the flock, care for them. Then finally, the shepherd is one who protects and defends the sheep. And this also is the work of the elders in the church. There are dangers that the sheep face. There are dangers that the flock will encounter. And so the shepherd knows and is aware of those dangers. You think of a shepherd who leads a flock. He knows where the cliffs are. He knows where the caves and dens are, where the predators are. He knows the different situations that are dangerous for the sheep. He keeps them close to water so that they will be fed and nourished. And all of that belongs to the work of the elders, that they know the spiritual dangers, the heresies and errors that face the church of God, as well as the less obvious things, spiritual threats to individual souls, dangers and temptations around us in the world in which we live. And so the elders do their work in exhorting and leading and admonishing the congregation in those different situations. I'll talk to the young people about the kind of friendships that they have and whether these friendships are good and helpful for them. They'll watch and they'll listen to the sheep, not as spies, but watching for their souls as watchmen on the walls of Zion. Brothers, elders, you are shepherds. You are to be shepherds to feed the flock of God which is among you, taking oversight thereof. That's God's charge to the elders. And all of that summed up very well in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14. Think of the figure of a shepherd in these several admonitions. Warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient toward all. What a high calling. We have to, of course, understand the care of Christ, the great shepherd, for us and for our souls. And we have to depend on Him as the great shepherd. Pray for the grace to be able to do this. In the work of office bearers in the church, we are not professionals, we are not administrators, but we deal with something which is of eternal value, the souls of God's people, the realities, the eternal realities of heaven and hell, the dangers of sin and the world and Satan. And we bring the word of life to feed the flock of God. Great shepherd, who leadest thy people in love, mid cherubim dwelling, shine thou from above. And that's our prayer as we look to the shepherd, that he will shine on us. So that's the duty of the elders, to shepherd the flock. The text talks about the attitude that the elders should have. And there's three negative and positive contrasts here that talk about this attitude. Not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as lords over God's heritage, but being an ensample to the flock. And the emphasis here is that the elders do this work not for themselves. That's the emphasis. You see that in all three of these different things. Not by constraint, but willingly. When you do something by constraint, that means you're forced to do it against your will. You don't really want to do it. You just do it because you have to. You do it with a sense of duty. And sometimes that can come into the work of the office bearers in the church, and especially the work of the elders in the church. We have this resistance in us to doing the work. And you perhaps say to someone close to you or to each other or to your wife, I wish I didn't have to do this work. Not by constraint, but willingly. There are many aspects of the work that the elder does that are difficult. Perhaps new aspects of the work that have never you're not familiar with, and you've never done them before. You've got to mentor the young. You've got to admonish the wayward. You've got to administer discipline against those who are unrepentant. Or perhaps it's your own nature not to be engaged in some of these aspects of the work. There's some aspects of the work that you enjoy very much. You enjoy visiting the sick, or you enjoy leading a Bible study, but you find some aspects of the work very difficult, and and there's this constraint that you feel to do the work. Well, the point of the text and what the apostle is saying is this, that we ought to be willing to do whatever's involved in this work, because this is God's flock. Notice what it's called in verse 3. God's heritage. God's precious possession. We're stewards. He's entrusted this heritage to us. We're familiar with that idea of God's heritage from Psalm 127. For parents, children are the heritage of the Lord. And now to elders, it's saying the same thing about the congregation. These are God's possession, God's heritage, precious to Him. The shepherd, the great shepherd, gave His life for them. Not by constraint, but willingly. And it ought to be among the office bearers that there's a willingness to take on the work that comes before them in their council and their consistory meetings. A willingness to lead in the congregation and say, what is there that needs to be done? We realize, of course, that sometimes the office bearer has a lot on his plate. He has his regular day job, and he has his family responsibilities, and then the work, what Paul calls the burden of the church as well. But not by constraint, but willingly. Pray that God will give us a willing spirit to do the work in the church, that it not become a bore or a burden or a job, but that we understand ourselves as shepherds caring for the sheep. And then the apostle mentions a second thing where we see again ourselves getting in the way of the work, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Filthy lucre can refer to financial gain, but it can also just refer to this, dishonest gain. And that would mean that an office bearer is doing his work, but not doing it sincerely, not doing it for the proper reasons. He's doing it for his own sake. He's doing it for his own gain. That's the idea of filthy lucre. Someone who takes on the work for their own gain. And now we can think again of shepherds. Shepherds who have flocks, and they had those flocks for different reasons. And we can think of a farmer or a shepherd who has his flock for material gain. He doesn't really care about sheep. He doesn't really know the sheep. He doesn't care about the health or the well-being of the different sheep. All he's concerned about is that they produce the wool that will give him the money. He's more interested in fleecing the flock for his own gain than caring for them. And that's the idea here of filthy lucre, that you have in your mind and in your perspective as you do the work, the wrong idea, that you're doing this for your own gain, for your own name, for your own recognition, for your own status, for your own praise, for your own power. And certainly as we look around, we can see in what's called the church today, many who work in the office for that kind of gain. The contrast to that in the text is to have a ready mind. A ready mind is a servant's mind. You think of a mother whose ear is open while she's sleeping in the night to the cry of a young child. She has a ready mind. And that's the idea here, that the elders are willing and ready and available. They're looking out for the needs of the sheep. And they're ready to jump in order to help them. That's the attitude, a servant's heart. Then third, verse 3 calls attention again to the proper attitude and how we, with our sinful natures, can get in the way again. Not as being lords over God's heritage, but being ensamples to the flock. Now there's a certain perspective in which the elder is a lord. The word elder even has that idea in it. The elders are called to rule the flock, but they do this under Jesus Christ And they do this with the Word of God. And they do this by the appointment of Christ, not their own authority. The idea of a lord here, not as lords, is a dictator. The elders may not be dictators in the church. There's two things that a dictator will do. One is that they will see the people, they'll view the people under their rule as being there for them, to serve them. And the second thing that a dictator will do is he'll set up a double standard. One standard for all the people under his rule, and then a different standard for himself. He expects much of others and little of himself. And so he dominates and he enforces his will with bribery and manipulation and force and threatenings and fear. The elders must not rule that way in the church. Not as lords over God's heritage, but examples. Examples to the flock. They should view the congregation as God's possession, which belongs to him, purchased with the blood of Christ. And now their calling is to lead by example. They should be able to say with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 3 and 4, follow me, walk as you have us for an example. The elder's life should be a pattern and a model for the other members in the church. That's the attitude. Examples. Now you see the high calling. What a calling. Not for yourselves, but for Christ and the care of his sheep. In verse 4, there's a beautiful incentive given. When the chief shepherd shall appear, that's referring to the day when Jesus Christ returns. When the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. And this is not referring to the general crown of victory and glory that God's people receive, but it's saying that there's a special reward for those who've labored in the office of elder in the church, who've taken oversight and watched for the care of the souls of God's people and have done this honorably. The work of the minister and the work of the elders is going to be evaluated in the judgment day, and Christ is going to ask, what did you do with my flock? This should make us tremble when we think about those who divide the flock for their own gain. This victory crown is the crown of an athlete or a warrior after they've been engaged in a struggle and they come to the end of the struggle. It's a reward. And the struggle for the elders is against their own sinful nature and against the enemies of the church of God, and it's a spiritual struggle against spiritual wickedness in high places, the devil himself and his desire to destroy the church. And Christ says, I give to you the keys of the kingdom, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So you are given this care, the spiritual care of the church, and it's a struggle. But now at the end of the struggle, Christ says there's a reward, a crown. And this crown is not like the crown that an athlete or a war hero would receive, because this crown fades not away. It's eternal. What exactly that crown is, we don't know. In the book of Revelation, the elders, the 24 elders, that is the 12 apostles and the 12 heads of the tribes of the Old Testament, have thrones, a place of honors given to them. But simply, let's understand this, that we can be encouraged, and we should be encouraged in the work that we're given in the church by this fact, that even though there may seem to be no reward and the work may be a difficult struggle, Christ Himself will vindicate us in that work, and Christ Himself will reward the faithful in the day of His appearing. And that's an encouragement. That reward is of grace. It's not a reward that we earn by our labor, but in dependence on the grace of God, we do our work, understanding that Christ Himself takes note of our labor and will reward us. I want to call your attention, all of you as a congregation, now to what follows. Likewise, he says, "Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject to one another and be clothed with humility." We can't function as a church, and we can't function as members of the church in relation to the office bearers, and we can't function as office bearers in the church without being clothed in humility. And now remember the great shepherd and his humility. He humbled himself in his service to the death of the cross for us. May we be thus humble. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Equip us by it for our life as a church. Equip the office bearers among us for their labors. And continue, we pray, to bless us under their spiritual leadership, as Thy word is the guide and rule for the life of the congregation. We pray this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.